your presence as ministers, and God appreciates your presence in His house when it's time to be in His house. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're headed to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14 tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Very familiar portion of scripture here. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God tonight, Lord, for your presence, Lord, the words that you've been speaking to our hearts, Lord, the attitude, Lord, and atmosphere of worship, Lord, that's been in this place tonight. Lord, I pray to God that you'll anoint me to minister this message you've laid on my heart. Help it, Lord, to edify us, encourage us, and challenge us. Lord, I pray to God you'll continue, Lord, to stir up, Lord, revival in our hearts and our souls, and meet us in these altars tonight. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this evening. Paul's writing to the church of Philippi, and he's talking to them a little bit, giving them a little bit of a pep talk. And he liked to give pep talks from his personal experience. That's the wonderful thing about the Apostle Paul. He really never taught, preached, or wrote about anything that he didn't personally try first. And the Bible says that we are, as ministers, to be the first fruits, the partaker of the first fruits. We're to get it before we try to instruct it. And that's a wise counsel. And we find that Paul always wrote from his experience. And as he's writing here, he says this. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have made it yet." He said, "But this one thing I do." And I believe that this is something that he did each day. He said, "Forget those things which are behind. Reach forth unto those things which are before." And then he says this, "I press." And this is where I want to deal with for just a little bit of our time tonight. I want to deal with this word press. He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I just want to minister for a few minutes tonight on pressing the advantage. Pressing the advantage. Over these last several weeks, God has been moving in this house, and God has been moving in hearts and lives of believers and saints in this assembly. And we have kind of started calling it a little bit of a revival. You know, that when people move and obey God, it's called revival. It means God stirring something, reviving, blowing on some embers, stirring up, you know, getting a fire going. That's something that I have been doing a lot of lately, spiritually, but physically too. Keeping the wood on the fire there, because that's what we heat the house with. And so it's kind of one of those things. You come in the morning and you open the wood stove up, and there's normally a little pile of coals left after you stoke that thing before you go to bed, and it's not near as hot in the morning as it is the night before when you go to bed. And so you got to open the dampers up, and you open the ashtray up, and you throw about 3 logs in there, and in about 5 minutes, Tate, with just a little bit of coal, that thing's going again. What we find is that Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What many times happens following a move of God in our lives is we relax when we feel like we have attained. It's a common problem and a common phenomenon in our Christian walk, in our Christian lives, and honestly, it's in your physical life too. When you know you have a need, you do everything to get that need addressed. But when the need's addressed, you don't feel the urgency any longer to do what you was doing to get the need met. It's the same thing in our Christian walk. Is many times we come to God because we're struggling, and then God does something. And when He does something, we're ecstatic and we're happy and we're excited. And we quit. Why? Well, because we got the victory. You know, we'd like to say, I got the victory, brother. I found it out. It's so good on the inside that the outside has to shout. And we all shout, and we say, God's given the victory. And away we go. And we so soon forget the effort that it took to get the victory. This is what I want to deal with tonight, is pressing the advantage. When God gives you the victory, He gives you a foothold. He gives you a stepping stone. He gives you a leg up. He gives you an advantage. He gives you, you know, a head ahead. I'm trying to think of every term that we call, you know, getting ahead of somebody else. When God gives you the victory, He gives you an advantage. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 19, we find a man of God who was very wroth. Now, I've been here before. I've been on both sides of this story. I've been Elisha, where I was wroth. And I've been Joash, where I didn't press the advantage. Well, we find in verse 19, it says, the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. What's going on here? Well, Joash, the king of Israel, heard Elisha was dying. And Elisha was always the go-to guy when you got in trouble. He was the go-to guy for a couple different kings. And he heard that he was dying, and he heard that the enemy, the Assyrians, was going to come attack him. And so you know what he does? He jumps on his horse and he rides as fast as he can to the man of God's house. And he comes into the Bible says he fell on his neck and he wept and he sobbed. I don't really think it was because so much that he knew the man of God was leaving, but he was sobbing because the man with the plan was leaving. And the man of God asks him what he needs, and he says, well, he said, I need God's help to smite the Syrians. So the man God tells him, he said, well, get your bow, get your arrow, and go smite the ground. So Joash thinks it's a little weird, you know. Ever had God tell you something that seemed a little odd, but you went ahead and obeyed anyways? Well, Joash went out, and he obeyed. Man of God did not clarify how many times to smite the ground. And the Bible says that he smote 3 times and he stayed. What I want to tell you about this is the urgency with which Joash wrote to the man of God's house did not match the urgency once he knew God was going to do something. When he went out to smite the ground, he already knew that a miracle was going to happen. He didn't understand why this was part of it. The reason the man of God was so wroth and angry was because of the lack of urgency on seizing the advantage. You see, when God moves like He's been moving around here, and when God gives blessings and victories like He's been giving around here, it becomes easy for us to lose our urgency with which we requested the victory and requested the blessing. And thus, we give up the advantage that God was trying to give us. This was why the man of God was so wroth, was because there was no urgency to take the stepping stool that was given him and use it to his advantage. When Paul began to talk here and began to instruct the church at Philippi, he says, it doesn't matter how many souls are saved. It doesn't matter how many towns I've been to. It doesn't matter how much I speak in tongues. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. Every day that I get up, I have to press just like I did yesterday. He said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 to 27, says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I've said it once, if I've said it a million times, if there was anybody that probably earned some breathing room, it was the Apostle Paul. But yet we find him constantly writing about pressing, about pushing, about seizing the opportunity, about taking advantage of what God was doing in his life. He said, because even I, if I do not bring myself under subjection, what is that? If I do not discipline myself, what? Man, I like to relax. Who likes to relax? I like to relax. Who doesn't enjoy kicking back from time to time and taking a breather and taking a break? I mean, we all like that. I just want to tell you, it's not wrong to relax. It's not wrong to take a break now and then. But here's what I'm going to tell you. The longer you relax, the longer you take a break, the harder it is to go back to work. You ever found that? When you take an hour-long lunch break, it's harder to go back to work than when you take a 20-minute lunch break. It is. If you take a 15-minute break, yeah, some days you can come back from that. Some days you just need to grab a can of pop and a candy bar and scarf it real quick, and you go right back to work, lest you lose your momentum. What was Apostle Paul saying? He said, I press, I keep, I bring myself into subjection, I take advantage of every stepping stone God gives me, and I don't let it fall to the side. We are called to press forward as Christians. That was wonderful what Pastor was reading us tonight at the opening, because he didn't know what I was going to preach. And then Sister Lindsay gets up and talks about valuing the presence of the Lord. And that's like, hopefully I get to preach tonight, you know. But we are called to press as Christians. We are called to be soldiers in God's army. There's all kinds of verses within the Word of God that talks about moving forward. The victories God gives us is for the purpose of giving us the advantage over our enemy. Many times I think we mistake blessings for just freebies. And to an extent, some blessings are freebies. But Brother Tate, I've been given some free things in my life. And there's been a few I've squandered. But there's been a few that I used as a stepping stone, because that's what they was intended for. Oh, God help me. I'm trying to preach, not meddle tonight. I'm just trying to share something that I hope is going to help us. But when God gives you victories and God gives you blessings and God gives you a leg up, he's giving that to you to use as an advantage in your Christian walk. And if we do not press, once we are given the advantage, you lose the advantage. And when you lose the advantage, who are you at the advantage to? You give it to the enemy. And at that point, you're back where you started. Yeah. It's kind of when you get stuck in a hole, you know, and I've been stuck a few times, and even in four-wheel drive, I've been stuck. And what I found, when you pull a vehicle out of the mud, you don't just pull them barely out, you pull them all the way out. It's better to yank a vehicle clean out of the muck than just try to get them up where they can get traction and let them get themselves out. It's just better to just keep on pulling until everybody's back on stable ground. What is that? Well, it's taking advantage of what's being given you. We begin to find, you read in the Old Testament about a young lady named Ruth. And this was a young lady that took advantage of what was given her. We find that Ruth goes into the fields, and what does she do? Well, she gleans. Oh, man, she worked. You mean Christians got to work? Yeah, Christians got to work. They do. I mean, we got to pay bills. We got to make a living. Christians got to work. And Ruth went out, and she began to glean. And the Bible says that she happened into the field of one called Boaz. And Boaz sees her out there, and he gets an eye on her, begins to ask about who she is, finds out who she is. And he says, well, he said, you start leaving a few handfuls on purpose for Ruth. And you let her glean right up there behind the harvesters. And you drop a handful every now and then of the good stuff. And man, Ruth went home to Naomi, and she was ecstatic about what had happened that day and how much that she had gleaned. And Naomi said, well, this isn't normal. And so begins to ask. And Naomi said, will you go back to that field? That just makes sense. When you get blessed, can I tell you this? When you get blessed, it's never wrong to go back to where you got blessed last time to get blessed again. I have found that sometimes God likes to take you back to where you was and give you something again. There's something about going back. And we find that Naomi says, go back and glean there. So she goes back and gleans there. And as time goes on, Ruth just gets old gleaning in the fields of Boaz. Wait, that's not how the story goes. That's sometimes how we live our lives. It's like, well, the blessing was good here, so we'll just keep going and getting the same blessing. Can I tell you this? You keep going back and get blessed in the same spot, God elevates the blessing. We find that Naomi says, well, we're going to press the advantage here. Ruth, you're going to do something that is unheard of, and that is bold, and could go very wrong. But you have the advantage here. And so what did Ruth do? Well, she went out and she pressed her advantage. What happened? Well, because she pressed her advantage, it got Boaz's full attention. Can I tell you this? When God looks down and he sees that you have taken the victory and the blessing he's given you and you used it for an advantage, you get his full attention. And when you get God's full attention, those blessings and victories that you think you've been getting that have been great, well, they're just tiddlywinks compared to what he wants to do in your life. And we find that because Ruth pressed her advantage, that it got her where she needed and wanted to be. Can I tell you tonight, church, as God moves in your life and he revives your heart and he revives your soul, he begins to give you the things of your heart that your heart's asking for. Don't sit back and say, well, God's good. Begin to take them and use them as an advantage in your life, because God put them in your life for you to get further ahead. We find in Acts 28, verse 1, it says, when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, wait a minute. Now this is Paul who's been at sea. This is Paul who's been shipwrecked. This is Paul who had to float ashore. This is Paul who's looking like a drowned rat. This is Paul who deserves to be sitting at the fire getting warm. But this is Paul who, instead of sitting around the fire enjoying the blessing, what's he doing? Well, he's out there gathering sticks. Are you getting where I'm headed with this? I don't know. As God laid this in my heart, it just really began to get a hold of me. Because so many times when the going gets good and easy, we like to enjoy what's good and what's easy. You want to be a biblical giant? Just learn a lesson from Paul. You never stop. You never quit. You look for opportunities to use the advantage God has given you to further his kingdom. And here's Paul. And instead of sitting by the fire, he's out gathering sticks with the rest of the barbarians. Paul's in the middle of all kinds of barbarians. I mean, he had barbarians on the ship. He had barbarians on the island. I mean, he was just surrounded by barbarians. You ever been surrounded by barbarians? And so we find that he's gathering sticks and he's getting them to put on the fire. And guess what? The old devil, the old slewfoot, he doesn't enjoy when the child of God steps up on the advantage that God gives you. Then I tell you this, when you take advantage of the blessing and the victory, and then you begin to build on it, well, the devil's going to attack you. I'm just going to tell you that right now. You're going to have old ugly come out of the sticks and try to stir something up against the advantage that God has given you. And so we find the old viper comes up out of the heat and it latches on to the hand of the Apostle Paul. You say, well, Paul, if you've been sitting around the fire minding your own business like everybody else was, you wouldn't have had to worry about an old viper getting a hold of your hand. Can I tell you there's negative people in this world? There are people that like to sit back and do nothing. And when God blesses them, it kind of tells you, sometimes God blesses you just because you know somebody else. It isn't that God blessed you. It's because you was associated with the person God's blessing. I'm feeling anointing tonight that is a little rare sometimes for Thursday night. The only reason that those people made it off that ship alive was because of who? Paul. Now, they may have thought they made it in their own strength, but no. The only reason they made it to that island was because of Paul. And here's Paul, and he is still, he's gathering sticks. He's still serving. He's still giving. He feels like this is his duty to do. And the old viper latches on his hand. And the barbarians look around, and the Bible says they saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. Sometimes the King James Version Bible just brings it on out there and lets your imagination do the rest of it. Venomous beast hanging off of his hand there. And we find that, and they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. They totally misinterpreted the advantage God was giving Paul, because they didn't understand how God's blessings work. And the Bible says that Paul shook the beast off into the fire and he felt no harm. When's the last time that you dealt with a trial and a situation and a circumstance that you just went ahead and just shook it off instead of trying to hang on and believe? You know what kills devils faster than anything? Fire. And when I say fire, I'm talking about Holy Ghost fire. And when you take those things and you begin to cuddle them and you begin to coddle them and you begin to think about just how hurt you are, well, guess what? You're going to feel harm and you're going to feel pain. But when you go ahead and you shake it off, around that Holy Ghost fire, you're going to want to shake it off. You go ahead and shake it off. Well, the Bible says that Paul shook it off. And he didn't feel no harm. And the barbarians looked on. And they said, we know the beast. We know how long you're supposed to live. We know what you're supposed to look like when you get bit by one of them things. And you're not checking any of the boxes of what you should be checking when you're dealing with this situation. When's the last time somebody looked at you walking through a trial, walking through a trouble, walking through a bad circumstance, and they're observing, waiting for you to begin to show forth all the signs of a person not dealing well with the struggle? And instead, they see you walking confidently, strong, and in faith. And you're not checking any of the boxes for them. So they changed their opinion. Simple point, Jason. People have a wrong idea about me. They have a wrong opinion about me. Well, go ahead and live right anyways, and they'll change their opinion. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, well, they changed their minds. And they went to the other extreme. And they said, well, if he's not a murderer, then he's got to be a god. They said, the gods have come to us. Well, what happened? I don't have time to go through the rest of the story. Sister Lindsay, come back to the piano. I'm trying to keep it short here tonight for you. But as they looked on, what happened here is that Paul pressed the advantage. Paul took the life that was given him in this circumstance, and he chose to build on it. Because what you begin to find after this, that there was one that was sick to the leader of the island, and that since Paul could be bit by a venomous serpent and not die, surely he had an uplink that they didn't have. And while they didn't understand the uplink that Paul had, they could not deny that there was something different about him. Let me tell you, this church is, you're called to be witnesses. You're called to be lights. You're called to go into this world. When you begin to press the advantage that God's given you in your life, you're going to begin to be a light to those around you. They may not understand you. They may not always agree with you. But I can tell you this, as you begin to let the light of God shine through your heart and life to them, they're going to begin to see that there's something different about you. You say, well, Brother Jason, what's different? Well, you've been pressing the advantage. You've been taking what God's given you. You've been taking the victories. You've been filing them away. You've been stepping up on top of them so that you can walk a little bit taller, so that you can be a little bit stronger. What I begin to find, if the Apostle Paul was here to tell us anything tonight, he would tell you, don't quit. He'd say, don't back down. He'd say, don't let up. He said, every day that you get out of bed and your feet hit the floor, he said, you get up and you press. You get up and you push. Because each day is another opportunity that God has given you to be the difference in somebody else's life. As you stand to your feet tonight, I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about some of the testimonies that's been coming out of this church in 2023. But if I can leave you with anything tonight, it's don't let up. Keep on pushing. Keep on pressing. Whatever it was that spurred you out of your seat on Sunday morning during worship, do that again. Can I tell you this? Worship, action, obedience shouldn't be a 2 or 3 time a year event in a Christian's life. That should be an each and every day event in the child of God's life. If God has started something within your heart this year, I want to tell you this. Just go ahead and throw another stick on that fire. He said, oh, Brother Jason, I'm afraid of the ugly that may come out of that. Well, let me tell you something. Go ahead and throw it on there. Because if you get the fire burning like the fire should be burning, it doesn't matter what comes up out of the heat. It doesn't matter what latches onto you. It doesn't matter what tries to take you down, discourage you, or put you under. When you've been stoking that fire so hot, there's no devil in hell that can stand against the power of God in your life. You may say, Brother Jason, I don't feel God's blessings. I don't feel like there's no victories going on in my heart and my life. In fact, I feel more like Paul out on the ship, and I'm not sure we're going to even make it to the shore. Can I leave you with this? The Bible says Paul encouraged himself in the Lord. And even in the middle of that ship that was tossing and turning and no way out, an angel visited him. And you know what he did? He pressed the advantage. The people have been fasting. They were weak. They hadn't been eating. They were calling on every god that they knew how to call on. And the true God showed up in the middle of all that. And he said, be of good cheer. I have spoken with God. Go ahead and eat up, fellas. Because at some point, this storm is going to end. Can I encourage you tonight, if you're in the middle of the storm, if you're in the middle of the battle, encourage yourself in the Lord. We begin to find where there was ones in the Bible that they were looking, staring death straight in the face, and they sat down and they begin to encourage themselves in the Lord. And I can tell you tonight, when you begin to encourage yourself in spite of your circumstances and you begin to elevate your perspective to see what God wants to do, He will give you a blessing and a victory in the middle of your struggle. And He gives that to you so that you can begin to press your advantage. Amen. Let's gather in these altars tonight. Encourage yourself tonight. Press. Push. Don't back down. Don't sit back. Don't relax. But no, press forward in what God is doing in your heart and in your life.
There is a cry that comes from our heart to the one who can see.